Every year in the month of November, we remember the soldiers on Veterans Day defended our basic freedoms, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. An interesting choice of words our founding fathers chose, pursuit of happiness. What exactly does this mean? I believe the significance of their words can be alluded to in this week's Parsha. Parshas Chayisara opens with the passing and subsequent burial of our matriarch, Sara Imenu. Avraham finds a suitable burial plot for his beloved wife in Hebron, in Maariv HaMachpelah. Interestingly enough, the Rabbeinu Yonah considers this episode to be the 10th and final Nisayon, the last trial of Avraham Avinu. But one must ask, how could this test be more difficult than the Akedah? It must be more difficult, because after all, a test is because it's possible that person may pass, may fail. If the person passed Akedah Yitzchak, and yet you decide to give another test, it shows that this may be a bit more difficult, or certainly much more different than that of the Akedah. But how is it possible that a man who is willing to take his own child's life, to listen to Hashem, why would one think for a moment that he would not pass the test of finding a burial plot for his wife and spending $400, apparently a substantial amount of money in those days? But what's the big deal? Isn't taking your own child's life so much more significant? What exactly is this test all about? To answer these questions, I'd like to share with you an interesting case in a Mishnah in Bava Kamma 31a, Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. There was a man who was walking down the street, and unfortunately he fell. He fell due to some pothole that was on the road. A few moments later, a man carrying some merchandise fell over the first man, lying on the ground, causing all his wares to break. Now, what exactly do we do in this particular situation when presented to court? You would maybe initially think that the first person is not responsible. After all, it's not his fault that he fell down in the first place. But this is not the halakha. He, in fact, is chayiv, obligated to pay. Why? Commentators explain, shehayu lo lamod v'lo amad. He should have picked himself up from the ground, but he chose not to do so. He decided to stay a bit too long on the floor, and now he's responsible. I believe that this Mishnah carries a message far beyond whether or not one must pay for the merchandise. You see, we all have different trials and difficulties in our lives. Sometimes we fall all the way down to the ground due to unforeseen circumstances. But our Mishnah is telling us that we cannot spend our lives lying on that ground, blaming external factors, our environment, our upbringing, our family. We may not continue to remain on that floor. We must not wallow in a state of depression and self-pity. Shehayu lo lamod means that we must pick ourselves up and go on with our lives, as difficult as it may be. This was the true test of Avraham Avinu. Avraham had just come back after successfully passing the rigorous test of the Akedah to discover that his wife died a tragic, untimely death. What did Avraham do? Did he remain depressed, incapable of continuing? No. The Torah tells us, V'yabo Avraham lispod l'sarab l'vchosa, that Avraham certainly began eulogizing and mourning and crying for the loss of his wife. But the Baal HaTorim points out something unusual about the word of l'vchosa. The letter Chaf is written small. Explains the Baal HaTorim, this is to signify Shlobacha Elamat, that he did not cry excessively for the loss of his wife. And one could ask, why not? Isn't this a bit insensitive of Avraham not to cry? So we have to understand. The Torah says specifically of Livchosa, he did cry. He did mourn. He did eulogize her. He felt the pain that he should have felt and went through the proper procedures of showing honor to his wife. But the Baal HaTorim is pointing out, Shelo Bach El Ma'at, that he did not cry excessively. Rather, immediately after, the Torah says, Vayakam Avraham Yalpnei Meso, that Avraham Avinu chose to lift himself up. Despite the devastating loss of his life companion, he chose not to cry excessively and not to be able to move on with his life and to remain lying on the ground. But instead he chose to embrace life. It explains Harav Yisrael Belsky, Rosh Yeshiva of Torah B'das, that this final Nisayon was the test of Simchas Chaim. Avraham needed to find a way, despite the circumstances, to still embrace and to love life to the fullest and to appreciate the good things that he still had. This possibly could explain the famous pasuk immediately after Sarah is buried. V'Avraham zokin b'mayamim v'Hashem berach es Avraham bakol. Avraham was an older man, and God blessed Avraham with everything. Isn't this a bit insensitive? Immediately after his wife dies, he buries his wife. The next pasuk is the time he says, oh, Avraham now has everything. What is that to imply? That he finally, my wife died? God forbid. What exactly does this mean? It seems to be completely inappropriate and out of place. And this perhaps is the reason why Rashi goes out of his normal way of explanation and says that the word bakol is actually a numerical value of ben, son. That when it says that God blessed Avraham bakol, it cannot mean he blessed him with everything because he does not have his wife. But bakol means a ben, that he still had his son. Now what is this coming to signify? That this, in fact, is the most appropriate place that this pasuk could ever be mentioned. Because it's so easy for Avraham to wallow in a state of depression and self-pity and to say, look, woe is me. My wife died. What will I do? Instead, Avraham looked bakol. He looked at his son and he said, I appreciate everything that God gives me. And this is enough of a reason for me to pursue happiness. Avraham knew that this was the proper approach in his life to be able to move on and to be able to embrace the Simchas Chaim, the joy of every moment, because this is exactly how his wife led every moment of her life. One of the more difficult Rashis, the beginning of our Parsha, Shnei Chayei Sarah, says Rashi, what does it mean these were the years of the life of Sarah? Kulan Shavin Latova. Every year, every moment, all 127 years of Sarimenu's life, they were all equally good. Kulan Shavin Latova? How could Rashi say such a thing? This was a woman that could not have a child until miraculously at the age of 90 she finally had Yitzchak. A woman who noticed a maidservant Hagar immediately conceive. This was a woman that could not have a child. Kulin shem latova. Furthermore, Sari Menu was a woman that was captured, kidnapped, not once in her life, but twice. How is it possible that we could say such a statement, that every moment, every year was good? And Rashi's telling us that this was the mindset of Sari Menu, that Sari would not allow the tragic things, the difficult and trying situations of her life to get her down. Shahaya lo'lamod lo'amad, to wallow in his depression and in self-pity, never. Rather, kulan shavim latova. Sarah was always able to lift herself up despite the circumstances. And I believe this is the meaning of the pursuit of happiness. You see, to pursue means that you need to make a complete effort to go after something with all of your might, full force. Happiness doesn't just happen. A person who says, I'm just going to sit here and allow these external forces and factors to cause me to become happy, such an individual will unfortunately realize that that is not a way of obtaining happiness. The fact that a person is in a situation, in an environment, that does not necessarily mean that that is going to make you happy either. You have to make a commitment, a life commitment to say, I want to be happy, despite what happens to me. In fact, I remember about 10 years back now, when I was in Disney World with my father, we were sitting, having lunch, and we were just walking and watching people, and it was just unbelievable, their faces. No one smiled, no one was happy. In Disney World, which meant and led to the conclusion that you can be in any situation, the happiest place in the world, but if you do not make up your mind and commit yourself to wish to be a happy person and to pursue happiness, then you will never reach that level of happiness. This is the message of Avraham and the message of Sarah. May we be zocha and merit to embody these traits. As difficult as it may be, to try to focus on the goodness of our lives, to never allow the plight of our lives to limit us to a life of misery or sadness, rather to lift ourselves up, appreciate life, our liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.